Broadcasting 2.0 for April 17th, 2026, episode 257, Swamp Factory. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. We're back after one Friday off, and we are here at your service as usual to give you all things podcasting, the open podcasting, the real podcasting, all things RSS. We are, in fact, the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0 and the only boardroom that wasn't a sneaker company previously. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will never inject his code into you. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
Don't say never. Anything's possible. Don't tempt me.
This is true. This is true. This is true. How you doing, brother?
Good. Yeah. Yeah, doing good. I'm off work today.
So what? Of course. Yes, yeah, we've already had tax season. Yeah, tax season is come and gone, so you get 3 weeks of, what is it, 2 weeks of rest, and then it starts all over again?
2 weeks may be generous. Because all the things you can't do during tax season, you have to do. As IT, you have to do after tax season,
right?
Because you can't make no changes during tax season.
Right. So how was this tax season? Were people happy? Did they get bigger refunds because of no tax on nothing?
No tax on nothing. people did get bigger refunds.
Okay.
The headlines I saw were humorous, though. It was like, yes, tax refund sizes are up. But not by as much as previously thought.
No, it's maybe 8 or 10%, I think.
Like 11%. Oh, 11%. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah, that's not bad.
I would like 11% more money, please.
I'll take I'll take it. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, like, talk about making a negative out of a positive.
Oh, well, typical.
Well, this, I was listening to First Ring Daily.
To what? What show?
First Ring Daily. It's a very... in like a niche podcast about, it's daily about Microsoft stuff. It's only lasts like, you know, 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Typically, but it comes up in my feed every day. Another one of those things I listen to for work, but Paul Theriault was talking about, the craziness of headlines now.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the ones he was quoting was, this headline that said, these 7 things on Mars will kill you instantly. the subtitle was, number 5 will truly blow your mind.
Oh, that sounds like AI slop right there.
Oh, it totally is. It's like, well, there's 7 things on Mars that can kill you. I mean, like the number, just the fact that they're like number 1 is the whole thing, you know, like you just the lack of oxygen.
Well, yeah.
Everything else is just a, you know, a stupid gravy on top.
The world
is insane.
Well, the world is, the internet is breaking. The internet
is, and I'm so happy about it.
Oh, well, let's start there. Because there's a couple different angles. I know you've been fighting all kinds of things. I'll save the CICD prompt injection for a little bit later on. Okay. which I find very interesting, actually.
I love, like, I don't know how many things can happen in a single week, but this week may have been a record.
Well, tell me about the Claude Code Gemini CLI credential theft, because I is a developer now, until everyone got the 500 error from the API, and then suddenly I wasn't a developer anymore, which was kind of fun. What is happening? Is that because people are putting their credentials into Claude and it's getting sucked in there and spitting back, or what's happening?
You're catching me off guard. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Exposing GitHub credentials through PR titles. Modern CICD pipelines are a train wreck, says Dave. Post Dave on Podcast
My
Index.
Bad.
Yeah, you got it?
Yeah, so
pull requests.
This is a continuation. GitHub Actions are having a bad day.
What are GitHub Actions?
They're having a bad month, actually.
What are GitHub Actions?
So GitHub Actions are a way that you can trigger for non-developers, non-SRE, sysadmin people. There's a thing, modern code is distributed to a production system, typically based on what they call a CI/CD pipeline, which is continuous integration, continuous deployment.
Right.
A typical flow would look something like this. It would be there's a development server or a staging area where things are tested. Then
testing's for pussies. Live, baby. We'll do it live.
Oh, you're talking to the king of modifying the production server in flight. Yes, I agree.
It will leave you with how a... I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
That's
doing law. Things suck.
That's Dave. Dave in the dev department. Yes.
Yeah. It's just, I'm just less angry about it. So what happens is you have this staging environment or this development environment and this, and then, things are tested and they go through, tested by people and by automation. The changes are considered valid and good, and then you promote it to a release. So then you you would typically do something like tag it with a version number, and this would trigger a release, or sometimes the release trigger is manual, and then that goes. Once that happens, this whole it kicks off a whole slew of downstream functions that take over. So once the release is finalized, all this whole process of getting it over to your production servers that are actually serving traffic to the world is almost practically out of everyone's hands. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kicked off by GitHub Actions. And so these GitHub Actions can, build the project. Do things like build a Docker image off the project. Then perhaps do a security scan to make sure no malicious packages were included as part of the build, because the build is pulling from package managers.
So this is all coming from EIP. This is all coming from a large language model triggering this through an API on GitHub.
No, it's not large language model. This predates LLMs by a long shot. It's code flow. It's DevOps. It's a good idea. It's considered, you could say it like infrastructure as code, where you're defining a set of things that need to happen every single time. And instead of a human being sitting there running these scripts, the automation takes over and it runs tests at each step of the way to see if anything fails before it deploys, and it'll the idea is it can catch problems before it gets to production and all. So, I mean, the ideas involved are not bad, but of course there's going to be risks, because the risks of automation are always there. What if somebody figures out a way to get into your pipeline? And the more steps you have in that chain, the more opportunities there are for something to have something malicious injected into it. And this is what happened earlier. Earlier in March. So the first half of March, the Axios breach.
Oh, right. That's what that came from.
Yeah. The Light LLM breach, all of that stuff started with, it wasn't GitHub Actions itself that was the problem. The developer accounts of other package repositories got breached, and then they were able to update the things that were called in the GitHub Actions, and those injected the malware, or the info stealers and that sort of thing. So the biggest one was Check Marks, I think is what it's called. It's a GitHub Action security scanner. And so the idea here is that you build your production, you build your release bundle, and then it goes through and looks for vulnerabilities in what it just built. And it's a security scanner, like an antivirus scanner.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody compromised that. Every time that thing ran, it was deploying an info stealer into the code that you just built. And that took place across, you know, dozens of huge major repositories. I mean, we still don't know the extent of that. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's what took down Cisco's. I don't know if you heard about that, but Cisco's entire GitHub, private GitHub repository got stolen. So all of Cisco's proprietary code is now leaked. It's been hacked out in the wild. And that came from that breach. So this is just a continuation of the same thing of attacking GitHub Actions. And this thing figured out that there was a way that you could use the titles of pull requests to execute code. So you could inject a malicious pull request, and just the presence of that pull request would trigger the action. So, like somebody, for instance, our web UI repository for Podcast Index.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good example of this. When somebody submits a pull request to our website repo, a bunch of automatic checks happen to make sure that, because the primary use case for that is people adding themselves to the podcastapps.com page.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all based on a JSON file. And the GitHub action that triggers when somebody submits a pull request on that JSON file is it checks the syntax, make sure that they did everything right, so that you don't end up pushing to production a broken JSON file, because that was happening a lot. So this means that this particular vulnerability could have made somebody deploy a malicious pull request to your repo. The automatic checks happen, and in certain circumstances, if they put code in the title, that code would execute and could scrape your data and send back things that they're not supposed to have.
That's great.
It's a disaster. This whole thing is so fragile. We built systems over the past decade that are not ready for how fast things are being
deployed.
And yeah, because it's that famous phrase, like from Jurassic Park, you know, you all you thought about is whether you could. You didn't stop to think about whether you should. That's what's happening really here, is these package managers or package repositories. Like, now every time I build something, I just hold my breath. I'm not kidding. I was building something this morning. I was doing some work on the local aggregator for Godcaster this morning, and I needed a composer package to put into because that runs Laravel, and it's all handled with Composer, which is a PHP package manager, and I did Composer, you know, install. And I just had this anxiety the whole time watching the screen. I'm like, what's about to take over my computer? This is code coming from some... In that sense, honestly, we complain about AI creating code that we don't read or that we don't understand or we never look at.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, that's... If you think about package repositories, that's been going on for 15 years.
Long time, yeah.
We have no idea what is in most of these.
Just
all these packages.
Apps install. Boom.
the apt-get, the Debian repositories, and because I feel more comfortable that those have been vetted more thoroughly, and they're also older packages. You don't typically, especially on an LTS release, what you're getting is typically a package that's been frozen at a version that's actually pretty old, comparatively speaking. So those Linux repo, Linux distro package but repositories are actually pretty. Those do not bother me very much. I would much rather get one of those than something off like npm or pip. I mean, or PyPy. Those things have. Oh man! I mean, like those things are a train wreck right now.
So I've been thinking about all of these, and you'll tell me which one you want to talk about. But all of these different, clearly vibe coded systems that have been brought up to create podcasts, and you know, it's like the big topic, and the only thing it's bad is just it's flooding systems. But, you know, podcasting doesn't have a discovery mechanism. You know, I do have some thoughts on this cloning of titles, or close to cloning on titles, close to cloning on images. I have some thoughts on that. But in general, all of these, you know, so, okay, if someone happens to be searching, like, oh, I have my podcast app, I'm going to search for a podcast because I don't have anything to listen to. I'll bet you that that's a very low amount of people that are doing that.
Very rare. I'm positive. That's rare.
So if they're searching for a particular podcast, that of course is a problem. If there's a whole bunch of clone feeds and things that look like it, sounds like. But I don't think anyone's really, I mean, this is a business that is not going to last very long. You know, the true way to stop it is to just stop giving away free accounts. Or you know, free account, but not if AI or whatever. The monetization, if anything, it's going to ruin podcast monetization, download based monetization, because advertised, like, well, it's all scam. I mean, I don't think anyone's listening to this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I view that as generally good, but not good for people like Dave. Because
no,
it's, you know, because I was trying to update We Get to Do This, the podcast, and I'm like, it's not happening. Why is it not happening? And then I waited for an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, like, this is ridiculous. I don't know what's happening. Of course, I thought it was my fault, but it's an RSS.com feed. So those are usually good. I check it. The feed is there. I check the raw feed. Feed's good. So then I wind up issuing a reset, which I don't like doing because I know that it takes a lot of extra resources. And that did get through, and that did update the feed, not in the way it should have. And then you come back later and say, well, this is the reason, which is some other crazy process that was it searching fountain feeds? What exactly was going on there?
I can't give you a step-by-step of exact. So what you mentioned something Wednesday about We Get to Do This, not updating this being stuck scanning.
Yeah, that's why. Well, I couldn't tell if it was stuck. It said scanning and it wasn't doing it. So,
a little bit later, I looked at it and I was like, by that time it had gone through. I was like, I don't really see anything.
That was probably after my reset, though.
I don't know. Mm. This is all very hard to understand because I look, of course, the first thing I do usually in a situation like that is I go look at Cloudflare and see if we're just getting, you know, blown hammered up with traffic.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything that looked out of the ordinary based on, like, you know, what I mean is out of the ordinary based on what I have seen lately.
Yeah.
I mean, we're serving a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
I wish I had kept historical traffic charts. Because what we're serving lately is a lot.
What's a lot, Dave?
Let's see. Actually, I've got it up right here. Let me look. Overview analytics. Here we go. I'm just looking at our Cloudflare stats. Okay, so over the last 24 hours, we've served 322 gigs of traffic.
Peanuts.
9.2 million API requests. And let's see, over the last 7 days, this is down significantly from what it was yesterday. You can see on the chart, it just, when Oscar fixed their issue, it fell off dramatically. Over the last 7 days, we've served 2 terabytes of data and 75 million API requests.
What? How many podcast apps are there?
Well, most of this is just a handful, I can promise you.
Yeah.
That's so up from what it used to be, let's just say a year and a half ago. And in one sense, I'm really happy that we hold up so well to
stop the hammering.
Yes. I mean, it makes me glad that we're able to handle so much traffic. I mean,
that's amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Considering the shoestring budget we're on.
For sure. Yeah. but then at the same time, it happened so gradually. It's like the boiling frog thing.
Yeah.
I never really thought, well, maybe some of this stuff coming from these other places is not organic. So like Fountain's traffic had been going up steadily for a while. And I had noted that in the back of my mind and I just figured they were just doing, you know, serving lots of data.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. You know? And then, but then what happened was Oscar was like, hey, you know, this podcast is not updating. And I looked and I was like, I wonder how many things are in the queue for the aggregators to poll. I wonder what the queue length is for waiting. I look.
That's where you discovered
500,000 podcasts.
Waiting for what? To be updated?
To be polled. To be aggregated.
Oh, my goodness.
To be requested and downloaded for aggregation. I'm like, whoa. I mean, we poll something roughly around 2,500 podcasts a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That should not, the queue should never be that big.
Right.
It should not even, I mean, the most I ever really see it get up to is about 1,600, 1,500. And that's just when we get a flood of things all in. And that usually clears out in, you know, 10 minutes. Uh-huh. And then it's back to this steady state. This was off the chart. And so I was like, whoa, what in the world? So I go into Cloudflare and I start filtering by what is hitting, like, where's this traffic coming from? So I'm looking at all the paths that are getting hit. And the one I saw up near the top was the Pub Notify API endpoint.
Hmm.
Which originally, so this goes back a ways.
This is the Mastodon stuff?
No. So if this goes back to the very beginning of the index in 2020, and this endpoint was created to support WebSub.
Right. Okay. Yes. PubSub, WebSub. Yeah.
PubSub. Yes, exactly. That's why it's called Pub Notify. So it's notify. This is a mechanism for us to subscribe to WebSub servers, for those WebSub servers to then ping us when a feed updates. So that Pub Notify has to be an unauthenticated API endpoint by default. That is for WebSub, but over the years we've said, okay, well, you can use it for other things if you just want to ping us and let us know that, hey, a feed changed and we need to poll it. Just send your request to here and you can either use the podcast index feed ID or you can use the podcast index feed URL or the podcast feed URL. And either one of those will work and we'll just stick it in the queue and poll it. And that thing should never be at the top of any list of traffic. And what it was Fountain was hitting that endpoint with feed IDs at the rate of like millions.
Wow.
Every 24 hours. And so this, Oscar went in and started checking his system. And he was like, oh man, he's like, a bot is just killing us. And so he was getting slammed with some sort of automated bot crap.
Someone trying to scrape podcasts through him, which indirectly came to us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I don't know the way their system is set up, but I can imagine designing a system such that, if a certain sequence of events happens on a page, gets requested, or a certain number of things happen, and it just triggers it. It makes your app think maybe there's a new episode, and so then it just sends a request to us for us to check.
Right.
And normally, I'm cool. I'm totally fine with that. Like, if somebody has a reason to think that there is a new episode that we need to go get, hey, ping us, let us know. Mm-hmm. But this was just somebody abusing their system, and it had this downstream effect on us. And so I blocked that traffic, and then he fixed, he blocked it on his side, and then we got it cleaned up together. And then I went through and just cleared all those backlogs, because I'm sure 400,000 of those requests weren't even real. And so then I cleared all that out, and then just kind of sort of reset everything back to zero. And now everything's working again. But I mean, this is the sort of stuff that you have to deal with. And it's been every single day.
And you have a wife who has needs.
Funny enough, she does. This is what I was afraid of last year. I was afraid that this year was going to be the beginning of this. Mm. And it has not. It has not disappointed,
is what you're going to say.
It's panned out exactly the way that I thought it would. This is the year of slop and just abusive bots. There's just been so much that's happened this week, man. I finally just started working on the spam classifier stuff.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, where the LLM is classifying it as spam.
Yeah, and I'm not happy with the way that's working, but it is working. I'm not thrilled with it, and I'm going to be making, this is going to be a long process. But
well, it's hard. I mean, we used to do that on heuristics, and now it's on who knows. I mean, I have a Qwen model running that ingests the result of RSS feeds that I have set up, and so I probably get about, each run gets about 350 stories, and the Qwen model then has to determine if the stories are worth even looking at. And that's hard. Oh. It's hard to tweak that just the right way.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you want to go ahead and dig into this. I mean, I do want to talk about the spam classifier stuff, but maybe you have something else you want to hit.
Actually it kind of flows into what James and Sam were talking about for the first half hour of Power. This Power.
I haven't listened yet, so I don't know what they're saying.
This Light Knot Studios, who copied more than 75 podcasts and created AI slop versions that are obviously different audio, different, not copies of the podcast themselves, but history podcast names, it's very close to the original successful podcast names. So the only thing I wanted to say, because I heard, it's not nice, first of all, but I have some experience in this that I just wanted to share, because, and I don't know if James has mentioned it, but I kind of want to turn that upside down for anyone who's dealing with this. Actually, two experiences. One, a lot of people start naming their podcast No Agenda. A lot. And I'd say most not maliciously. They're just like, yeah, this is a great idea. We'll call our podcast No Agenda. We'll talk about sports. Well, I mean, if you are serious about what you're doing and you have a podcast, you need to trademark the name. You just need to trademark the name.
Y'all do, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because now, I mean, every single time this happens, we have to send a DMCA takedown request. We just did one yesterday on Spotify. Spotify is reasonably quick to respond, but we have had to get lawyers involved more than 10 times at least, maybe 20 times. Because people are like, well, I don't want to do that. And I've done it to mainstream. I even my neighbor, She's like, no agenda with Laura Logan. Like, no, no, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. That was a, you sent that to Fox News, right?
Yeah. That's when she was on Fox. And then all of a sudden it popped up again in her podcast. So anyway, that's one thing. But I have a lot of experience with something called the Lanham Act. And if you, if, as long as you have your podcast trademarked, and so that would be the name, that's most important. You can also do some trademarking on imaging, but you know, it depends. You have to have kind of the same image. But I have experience with this from the 1994 MTV Networks versus Curry lawsuit, which was filed by MTV, because I had MTV.com, which they gave me permission to use. They didn't care. They didn't care about the internet. We have the AOL keyword. Curry, do whatever you want. That was literally what they said. We have the AOL keyword, so we're not interested in this domain name stuff. So I had the domain name, and I had MTV.com. It was kind of a personal site, but it was definitely MTV-oriented. So the lawsuit that they filed was under the Lanham Act, which was correct, and they were right. We settled because, you know, it turns out they had said you can go ahead and do this, and they hadn't covered their backsides. And honestly, if they just said, hey, can we have the domain name back, I would have given it to them. So that turned into them suing me under the Lanham Act. I countersued. We settled out of court. Neither party has any further comment. I'm still smiling. but the Lanham Act is there specific. Oh, in fact, I'll give you the little paragraph about it. Federal trademark law protects brands from consumer confusion. Core test. Would a reasonable consumer be confused about who made, sponsored, or endorsed a product? Courts look at how similar the marks are, how related the goods are, evidence of actual confusion, and it covers domain squatting. That actually came from my, you know, it was jurisprudence, my lawsuit with MTV. Mm-hmm. Brand impersonation, cloned content designed to look like the real thing. So, the Lanham Act is the way to go. No, just forget about DMCA and all this stuff and going to, you know, the hosting company. You have to go to a lawyer and you have to threaten them with Lanham Act litigation. And that is the end of it. If not, then you have to follow through. So I just want everyone to know that there is, in the United States at least, I'm not sure about outside the United States, but the Lanham Act is the way to go on any of these podcasts. Clearly create confusion. It's obvious to prove that. And one legal letter should make them go away. If they don't, then you'll have to take it a step further. But you will win that. And unfortunately, if you're in a business, and I've defended all kinds of copyright cases, including the first Creative Commons copyright case. I was the first one to fight that in court. I won. I got zero money, but I won. That wasn't really the point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Lanham Act is the way to go for anyone who's dealing with this. And we just have to do it. The thing that I'm worried about, and I know that Spreaker has a lot of this going on. And so when you combine creating Lanham Act offenses, which a lot of people just don't know how to defend, won't defend, you know, shrug their shoulders, whatever, combined with bots submitting hundreds of thousands of podcasts, the only thing I'm a little worried about is that at some point a company like Spotify will say, well, that's been ruined. You should just come to us and we'll take care of you. And we're safe here because you can do it with our API and trusted partners and you're good to go. That's the thing that I'm worried about. And maybe I'm giving them an idea, but it's also possible they're thinking about this themselves.
I'm not clear on what you mean.
If the RSS infrastructure becomes so polluted with similar names and similar topics and, you know, and we just can't fight the spam or the slop, or we don't have a way to help people find what they're looking for when they're looking for it in that particular case.
Right.
I don't want companies to go, well, you know, like we're the guys, you know, come to us, we'll protect you. And it just moves away from RSS. That's what I'm talking about.
I can see the logic of like where how you're getting there. The only thing I would say that may is I think that the closed platforms are also fighting the exact same battle. I don't think they can make that guarantee. They could say it, but they couldn't live up to it.
Okay.
Because like YouTube is full. I mean, it's just a slop factory now.
Yeah, it is.
Spotify is a slop factory. All these, yeah, all these closed systems are battling the exact same problem. And, you know, I want to be fair to all of the hosting companies. It may seem like I'm giving Spreaker a hard time because they have just become such a factory for slop.
Slop factory.
They're a slop factory. They've become a slop factory.
They're a slop slut.
The problem is that they are really between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
This is a difficult thing. The Light Knot studio thing, I think that happened to RSS.com.
Yeah.
This morning I saw a whole slew of just scam garbage with phone numbers to call and all the just a full on scam.
Yeah.
A campaign. Phishing campaign. I saw this hitting multiple hosts, Buzzsprout, Podio, was it Podbean? It was like three different hosts. The rock and a hard place that the hosting companies are in is that you have to do a free, even if you don't have a true free tier like Spreaker and RSS.com and Red Circle, even if you don't have that, you still at least, it's table stakes now that you have to have a trial period, 14 days, 30 days, whatever it is. You just have to. And a lot of stuff can happen in a 14-day or a 30-day trial. A whole lot of abuse. And I know for a fact that there are people in the hosting companies, because I've talked to them, every single day they spend, who knows, an hour or more scraping through the trial accounts trying to get rid of this stuff and 404 these scam feeds.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. And it's hard. And what I'm doing on my side is trying to make that job for them easier. I want it to be, I want our visibility across hosts to become a benefit to the hosts.
Of course. Yes, of course.
Because we can see something happening over here on Podbean
before it hits Buzzsprout.
Exactly. Before it metastasizes.
Well, I think we have hosting companies like RSS.com. I'm just going to be a douche about it now for a second. RSS.com, Buzzsprout, the boys and girls over there, Blueberry, who support the index. So we should be
Transistor.
Yes. We should be supporting them. The other ones, I don't know so much, Dave. I'm just saying.
I understand the sentiment. I just
mean sentiment that cropped up in me. Yes, that's what that was.
Yeah, I did not. That's not what I said.
That's what I said.
That's what you said. I understand that sentiment. But also, like you said, the larger goal though is that we want to get some sort of traction on this. Most of this is coming from two motives. The obvious one is ad revenue.
Mm.
So you throw up a slop cast, you get ad revenue.
Slop cast.
From DAI.
Yeah.
So you get that. That's one. That's the obvious one. The other one is SEO spam.
Yeah.
And this is just plain Jane SEO web traffic scamming that has been with us forever. But what I think, if I could make one recommendation to the podcast hosting companies, it would be this. If you're on a free tier or you're in a trial account, do not give those accounts any web presence whatsoever.
Right.
And also mark them as such in the feed. So that everybody knows to ignore them until they become an actual paid, some sort of like a legit podcast that you are getting. You've verified that they are an actual human of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot, some of the hosting companies try to block the SEO problem by just having their podcast web pages that they generate automatically by having them blocked from Google indexing.
Mm.
But that doesn't stop it, because those podcast feeds then flow into other places like Apple Podcasts and Podcast Index. They flow all over the place, and then they'll pop up in other spots in the web, get indexed and turned into HTML, and then you get this thing. It's not just the straight SEO from the page itself. It's like second order SEO down the line. And now, what I'm seeing now, I mean, it's not new, but it's been going on for a long time. And I'm looking at this stuff for like every single day for a while. And what I'm seeing is our trend. I'm beginning to see the trends myself. Yeah. And the other SEO, it's not just, you know, scam SEOs like online gambling sites in Vietnam.
Mm.
It's, which is a big deal. And like the Asian gambling sites are a big thing.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. It's also, I'm seeing like local businesses.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There was one, it was like PJ's, heating and air service in Miami, Florida, or something like that. I mean, it was on like four different hosting companies.
Well, you know what is big now with the Claude code type things is people are selling. In fact, one of our No Agenda producers, not saying that he's doing this, but they'll sell you a marketing system in a box. And so you log in, they got a little front end on it, and it's got some Claude code stuff underneath. Claude bot, and so it'll build you a website, and then it'll do a marketing campaign for you. And I think that's what we're seeing here is, I can get a marketing campaign for $5 a month. All right, so I'll use this. And then it's going off and it's doing its SEO business, and it's doing it through stuff like that.
I just dropped a search, a link in the boardroom. It's mm-hmm. a search for, if you just search in Podcast Index for PJ space HVAC.
Yeah, I see it.
That's what this is.
Wow.
One of them's on, that one's on Buzzsprout.
Oh, man.
And some of these have been 404, and we just haven't killed them yet. This one's on SoundCloud. This is all the same. This is all the same local business.
Yeah.
Let's see where this one is. This one's on another one on SoundCloud. Where's this one at? This may be on Spreaker. No, there's three different ones on SoundCloud, but I saw this same one, PJ HVAC. I know I saw it on Spreaker and at least one other place. So this was across four different hosting companies, and it's just a trial. It's abusing the trial account.
Right. Oh, well, I'm glad to see that SoundCloud finally has some traffic. For podcasts.
PJ Mac HVAC Service and Repair Company in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, there's clearly something that is, somebody like you, like what you're talking about out there, that is just sort of like SEO in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we're going to do is we're going to throw you out on all the podcast platforms, and you're not really a podcast. We're just going to make one placeholder episode with, you know, that just says with our phone number and contact information. It's abuse. It's service abuse, because it's not what the intent of these services are. Daniel, that PJ Mac HVAC show, that may not be an Apple podcast, But I can tell you for a fact that there are thousands of shows of this, of varying scam types in Apple Podcasts, because I send the links to them. I find them in Apple Podcasts also. So this is not, it's not just a matter of the way we do things by scraping up everything. This stuff is getting into Apple Podcasts also. And I can bring receipts, because I've got them in my email where I've sent them to Ted in the past. And so these people are good at these scammers and SEO people. They're very good at this stuff. They're very good at it. And if you can get yourself onto Apple Podcasts,
yeah,
you've hit the jackpot.
Well, a lot of that's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
The automatic is, through a lot of the hosting companies.
That is SEO gold. Because you're now coming off of an Apple.com top level domain.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So, what I'm going to have to do, let me go over real quick just sort of what is happening right now. What I've done this week to try to get some sort of handle on this. So what's happening now is there's a client process that runs on my local system here at home, because obviously we're running on a budget, mm-hmm. and I need to do local inference for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a client process that's running here that's looking at the recent / new feeds endpoint. And it pulls the most recent shows added to the index in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a cool page.
Yeah, it runs every one of them through the inference through the Gemma 4 model.
What are you running? What are you running the Gemma 4 on?
It's Llama CPP on a Mac Mini.
Okay.
And so it's running on, it runs through that, does a classification, and there's a big, this script, it has the notion of bad feeds. I'm just going to put them in two buckets. There's actually six buckets, but let's just for simplicity's sake, it has the notion of this is a bad feed, this is a good feed. I'm just going to, let's not get into the meanings of those things. And so then it runs like you, it has a local SQLite database that keeps all these things tagged. Like, here's an example of all the, of a bunch of feeds that we want to nuke. And here's a bunch of examples of feeds that are legit. And so it just it sends it to the LLM, makes an inference with a gigantic prompt. And the LLM says, yes, this is most likely spam, or this is most likely legit. And so you get a decision that's been made, and then it calls the report/problematic endpoint, mm-hmm. to report that feed with a reason code and a note about why it was marked as problematic.
Hey, is there a way that here's a thought. Here's a fun thought.
Okay.
Is there a way that I can add my Vulcan to the process and help Vulcan? You with that?
What's a Vulcan?
My Vulcan 3090 card, baby.
The Vulcan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, in Birmingham, we have this huge statue on top of Red Mountain in the center of Birmingham. It's a statue of Vulcan, the god, the Roman god of...
Oh, yeah. You guys are all pagan cult worshipers over there.
We are. Once a week, we all go and bow to the...
to the Vulcan.
The Vulcan, yeah. But yes. So there, we had this radio station in in town called the Vulcan.
Yeah, Vulcan, the Vulcan.
Yeah.
Hot rock and flame throwing Vulcan, Alabama.
I think anybody can run this script. I'll have to think about how that would work. But it's definitely, it doesn't require any sort of, it doesn't require, it's not, it doesn't run on the server, on the podcast index infrastructure. So yeah, you can run it.
Here's a thought. So here's how people could really
help.
It does
take a lot of VRAM though.
Well, I've really gotten into the rented GPU stuff. Are you familiar with this?
I've rented GPUs, yes.
Vast.ai, RunPod, Together.ai is the one I've had the most success with. Grok, G-R-O-Q, which is has no dev tier, but they have a lot of free stuff right now. I do a lot with that, particularly Whisper. So I'll do a... You know, someone says, hey, this is a great podcast. You should listen to this. I'm like, no, I'm going to listen to it. And so I send my bot out, my robot, and it grabs the podcast or the YouTube, turns it into an audio file, whispers it, and then summarizes, tell me what's in it, if there's any good clips, anything I should get from it. And that costs like pennies because it goes so fast on this rent of stuff. So if you had... and I think you can set up like a, almost like, I don't know what the term is, but it's like a Docker basically, where you can have an API endpoint that's stored. So if anybody could just access that, so you could just have a whole bunch of machines firing with the same model, the same weights, the same parameters all the time to help in that process. So you distribute the cost and the actual load of the service. I mean, we could fight this stuff. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I think it does make sense for sure. The only caveat I would throw in there is this one, and this is a big one, is I'm strongly of the opinion right now that we're going to have to train our own model.
Oh.
And I don't mean necessarily a full training. What I mean is like a fine tune. We're going to have to fine tune a model.
Okay.
Because What we really need is not what this thing currently does, it tells the model, okay, here's a new podcast. Here's the title and the description and titles and descriptions of the most recent episodes and show length and all. It just gives a ton of metadata about this new podcast. And then it says, here's the same data from about a dozen picked at random podcasts from the legit table and about a dozen from the spam table.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, okay, now do your best to make a decision. Also taking into account the prompt that we give it with a bunch of parameters what is going on. And that just has context problems. You don't want to have to provide all of that in a context window. What you want is for the model to have that knowledge innately, because then you can basically train it on the entire index.
Yeah.
So this comes to the point of me and James went back and forth a little bit on the podcast index.social this week about this topic. He wrote it up.
The Criddler. The Criddler.
I got criddled.
You got criddlered.
And so he wrote it up as a headline in Pod News about the spam issue and the 24-hour feed report and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. But he pinged me on podcastindex.social and said, well, you know, and it was making the point. He called it censorship. I disagree with that fundamentally. I think censorship is when I say, I don't like what you said and therefore I'm going to block you. I don't like the thing, your ideas and what you're espousing. This is this is something completely different. I could care less about the ideas. What I'm looking at is the form.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the structure, and the structure is abusive to podcasting as a whole. It's not censorship; it's self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the larger point of what he's saying, I took some good things away from what he said, and he was because what he said was. One of the unique benefits of Podcast Index is that you have all the feeds.
Yeah.
And if you block some from being ingested, then it lessens the value of the index and what it is and what it represents.
Fair point.
And I think he's right.
But we can tag yes. it.
And so there was a misunderstanding on his part, just because the information it's not well. Some of this is not obvious. And that is, we have all those feeds that I'm not deleting them out of the index. The index really doesn't ever delete anything.
Right.
The only things we ever delete are actually remove from the database, like they're no longer even in there,
mm-hmm.
is... mostly things that are not podcasts. Sometimes things get in there and it's just a web page. I was like, well, this is not even a podcast. I mean, this is literally not even a podcast.
It's not a podcast. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is a text file or some crap. And so, like, those we remove, and then there's just a handful of other things that we removed for very specific reasons that I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, I mean, you could put that on one hand, really,
mm-hmm.
ever. All the rest of this stuff that is getting marked, it's just there's a flag in the database that's just this dead equals one or dead equals zero.
Mm-hmm.
If dead equals one, then it no longer gets served on the website or the API. It's just, it's like it's invisible. But the data is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say data, I mean the episodes are deleted. But the full feed record with the title, the description, the feed URL, if it had an iTunes ID, the status code, the HTTP status code, the how many episodes were in the feed, all of that data, that metadata about the feed, all of that still exists.
So wouldn't you want to have one or more flags? We already have flags like slop, AI slop, spam, etc. Have the flags so you can, when you're polling the API, you get whatever you want. If you want everything, then you say, please add these flags. And only if someone actually pulls that particular Podcast Enix ID, do we do a scan. Does that make sense? Or is that not useful?
Run that by me one more time. I'm not sure I followed 100%.
So we have everything. But instead of it being dead, if you want to query the entire index, including the spam and the slop, etc., you can mm-hmm. query it and you can get the information, get the top-level information about the podcast. But only if someone says, well, I really, really need this Abraham Lincoln AI-generated history podcast, only then do we scan that feed. So we keep the
that would be a challenge.
Oh, okay.
That would be a challenge because we just mark we it's just dead one or dead zero, and
right. But we're working on flags now, aren't we? Are we coming up with? I mean, you're flagging something. If I look at this report page,
things are flagged as reasons for being marked as dead.
Okay, right.
But that's in a separate table, so that means we'd have to check. I think we could do what you're saying, but I think it would be hard.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's not. I mean, we could do it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, but it would be a little bit of work. It would be some work.
Well, I'm just continuously thinking, how can we all work together? Very simple to the gossip system, so we mm-hmm. all can help flag things. We all can, you know, just
right.
make it useful for everybody. For whatever your use case. So if you really want to search across all of the slop and everything, you should be able to do that. But that these distributed systems are alleviating the load on the ultimate endpoint from the index to make it easier. Or ultimately, hey, you know, you want to have an index with all the slop in it? Your gossip has it.
Yeah. So I think James had a good, I forgot if his idea or mine, I don't remember exactly, but we came up with a good idea, which is the index right now, the core part of the index from day one has been this downloadable SQLite database of right. all the feeds.
Of everything. Yeah.
And so that, what I've always done is I've excluded the dead feeds out of there. Just for size constraint, and because, you know, we don't want to distribute things that were marked dead, because sometimes they're marked dead for a reason.
Right.
Sometimes they're marked dead because
it's theft, it's plagiarism, etc.
Yeah, and the creator asked us,
yeah,
take it down, and so we don't. I mean, we can't. You know, I don't want to just just redistribute that in a different form that mm-hmm. that goes against their wishes, and so. What I think my next step is going to be to create a second download. And it's going to continue to exclude all of those things that were marked dead in the past, because those things, there is, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to think this through. I told James, I said, give me a few days. I'm going to have to think this out. Okay. Because what we want is a second download that has everything in it for the people who want that. And then, but what needs to be in there?
Who really wants that? Who really needs that?
I don't know.
So it seems like a big lift for a very few amount of people who really want all that.
Well, let me take that. I can tell you this. I want it. And here's why. So, well, let me finish that first thought. So what we would have to do is we'd have to export it, do a second export that has everything in it. And it's going to have at least one extra column, probably a few, that details if it's dead, why. And the reason would be out of the MF problem, out of the problematic table listing, okay, well, we considered it spam or abuse or slop or whatever. And here's the note on why it was removed or marked as dead, excuse me. So then we have that. But then these older feeds, what we'd probably have to do is if the HTTP status code of the last scan is 200, or if it's a valid HTTP access code or response code, we would probably have to somehow still not export that, because that's probably most certainly an indication that we were asked to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it's marked dead for some other HTTP status code, like a 404 or something like that, then we could stick that in there and say, okay, well, it's obvious why this was removed. This was removed because it's no longer a validly served feed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to have to be some work here to make this function properly. But once we do have that second download, this is what we train the fine-tune the model on.
Right.
So what we'll have to do, because when you fine-tune a model, you have you have to create a data set, and the data set is a lot like training a machine learning model. What you have is a data set that comes down to here's a bunch of words, and then here's a decision. Is it this thing or that thing? And so it's a series of funnels,
tubes.
It's a series of tubes that flow from a bunch of content into what amounts to a single decision matrix. And so then you feed that into the fine tuning, like PyTorch, you know, there's a bunch of these scripts out there. So we can fine tune a GGUF model or something like that on on this data from this second download because it's going to have have all the valid ones in there and all the spam junk.
So what does it take to train or fine tune a model? I have no that's above my knowledge
just horsepower.
Base.
Horsepower.
Right, but what is the application that does that? What is the system that does that?
I think there's some. It's easier now than it used to be. I think there's a couple of tools out there. NVIDIA just launched one through Unsloth. I think it's Unsloth Studio or something like that will help. It makes it easier, but you can still just do it with a bunch of like PyTorch Python scripts. I'm doing active research to figure this out right now. As soon as I have this second download constructed, then I'm going to like go headlong into that and try to fine tune a model. Cause then it's just got a vast amount of built-in knowledge to pull from to make these decisions. So that's when I said that there was a kink to the idea of distributing this, that's what I meant. Like, we'd have to somehow distribute the model too. And I don't know really at this point how that works.
I like the idea of providing, of being a clearinghouse and providing the information back to the hosting companies. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean,
that's going to help a lot. It's going to help a lot.
I hope so. This morning, we saw this morning started the Black Magic.
Black Magic?
Let me see if I can find one of these. Black Magic. I mean, this spam feeds are, they're entertaining to watch sometimes. This stuff is nuts.
I just want a terminal where I can just watch the spam come by. Like, what do you got? Oh, this is interesting. What do you got here? Oh, OnlyFans. Okay.
Let me see if I can find one of these. It might be a little hard to find. Is that one? It's like, I think I posted one on Podcast Index Social. Let me look. It was like, it's stuff like how to get your girlfriend back. and you do it with Black Magic, and there's a phone number you can call to get them to help you.
Oh.
it's rad, man. It's rad. It's super easy to. Yeah, here it is. How to get your ex-boyfriend back when he has another girlfriend. Call 917-401-409-7597.
Oh, excellent.
And it's Black Magic and Vashikaran. Top Vashikaran specialist Vikram Sharma is a very good astrologer and world gold medalist.
Oh, gold medalist in what?
Black Magic, I guess. I don't know.
Hold on a second. Let me pipe my thing in here for a second.
Pipe it in there.
I'm going to pipe it in. Let me connect my phone. Should my phone be able to connect? I want to dial that number. Let me see. I haven't actually connected. Oh, here we go. Roadcaster. Boom. Pairing. Is that going to work?
Hey, citizen. Dave, is there an explicit rule banning AI slop from the podcast index? No, we don't have explicit rules about anything, really. Our only rule is keep it free and don't censor people.
Okay. I got it paired. Now, let me go back here.
But we don't
unmute. Rules
require meetings, and we don't. Okay.
What's that phone number again, Dave? Let me get that. Let me dial that phone number.
Oh no! Yeah. No, this says 91-91.
Hold on. That's sketch. Okay. +91.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
+91 741
409
7597.
7597. Is this going to cost me $1,000?
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's see if it works. It's ringing.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling about the Black Magic to get my boyfriend back.
Yeah, your good name?
Is Pete.
Okay, your profession, what are you doing?
What?
What are you doing by profession?
I'm calling about this. I had this number. I found it in my podcast to call if I want to get my boyfriend back.
Okay, no problem. send me the details of your boyfriend and yours on the same WhatsApp number, name, pick, and city.
Yeah, and I got to hang up. It's India. I called India.
I was getting none of that. None of that. Like,
well, how ineffective is this stuff? This doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you scamming the podcast index for this nonsense? It's not doing anything for me.
They're blasting it all over the world, and then you can't understand what they're saying.
Understand the dude. This is no good.
This makes no sense. Yeah, this is ineffective. Ineffective.
Very
spam.
Ineffective.
But there was, 100 of
meanwhile,
these.
Meanwhile, I didn't get my boyfriend back. So, you know, this is like a double disappointment.
Well, this stuff is going straight. This stuff is going straight into the ecosystem. And then there's some homeschool mom somewhere trying to start a podcast about, you know, Charlotte Mason education, and she can't get nothing through, you know. No traction.
That was completely unsatisfying.
No, I was wanting to laugh much harder than that.
This didn't work. Because I wanted to say, okay, well, here's what you do. And then I wanted you to be like, hi, I'm the boyfriend, and I'm here. I'm the I mean, we could have had a whole thing going here.
That's right. I was fully prepared to be your boyfriend. But
Salty Crayon, did you turn your boyfriend off and turn him back on again? Exactly.
Yeah, Midas is right. That dude was like, holy shit, somebody called.
It worked. I spent 10 cents on spamming podcast indexes, and I got a call.
Jen's right. Or no, C-Loss is right. You should have said that it was James. I was James Cridlin.
We can always call back.
My boyfriend's name is Sam. We've been having a fight.
Oh, I screwed up the script. I can't believe it. Oh, what an opportunity. Instead, I come up with Pete. Oh, I'm so stupid. Pete. This is James.
That's funny.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, we probably should thank some people. Oh, you have the date? Well, we got people. I have to clean up my studio. Tina made me commit to it. Like one of those wife commitment things.
Oh, okay.
I need you to commit to something.
So you have a hard out, not me. I've got no out, and you have a hard out.
I got a hard out. Yeah, the studio is absolutely atrocious. It's like I've got no agenda tchotchkes and hats, and I've got 8,000 books about scripture, and I still have a T-Mobile bag sitting here that I got my phone in. I mean, this is bad. It's really bad.
We covered basically nothing today.
There's
50 things on my list that I have not even had a chance to talk about. I mean, like,
we can do it next week. We'll do a better job next week. We had fun though.
I want to call that guy. Okay. New segment of the show.
We
call a different scammer every week.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, we got to have a better script next time we screw that one up.
Oh yeah, no, but it will be the James and Sam script.
That's every time Sam and James call a scammer.
I don't know. Does anybody still remember the what was it? Not the Janky Boys. It was the Jerky Boys. Remember the Jerky Boys?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Jerky Boys, man. They were so good at that back in the day.
That was like on cassette tapes that people would pass back and forth
to
each other.
Oh, yeah. And I think the Beastie Boys made a song about the Jerky Boys, if I can recall. Because they were calling some guy about Cookie Puss.
I don't know.
Oh, hold on a second.
The Crank Yankers. That's another one.
Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find this. This was a class. You remember? Well, you know the Beast. This was actually. Let me see. Beastie Boys, Cookie Puss. This was the OG Beastie Boys back in the day. Here we go. No, it's got to be older than that. It's got to be 30 years old.
Let me shit with this bitch.
Let's see if they get this. Hello?
Yo, I said I'm calling you, mate. Little B answer the phone.
Oh, let me get
Supervisor X. I,
I got the number anyway, baby.
I don't know if we can find that bit.
Anybody, man, I want to speak to them.
They're not here.
I said, yo, I house you. Where's Cookie Puss at?
He's calling about the ice cream Cookie Puss.
That was just one step removed from what was the videotapes? The Faces of Death or whatever.
Faces of Death. Oh yeah, your copy was like a eighth generation. Mm-hmm. And you always had to skip it at the end because it was the people eating the monkey's brains out of the monkey head on the table with his head sawed off on the top. Yeah.
And you'd have a big line of snow at the bottom that you just couldn't get rid of no matter how many times. What was the little thing that you would adjust, the little dial
tracking,
on the
tracking,
forehead?
Tracking.
Yeah, that's it, the tracking. Yeah. Tracking.
Wow. So that whole episode resulted in the one and only boost that came in during the live show. From CLOS on Linux. 4,329 sats. Interesting. That doesn't sound like a right number. I'm on the new helipad, so I'm jacked into.
Oh yeah, big helipad upgrade by Eric PP, man.
Oh yeah.
This thing had like 75 commits in it. I mean, it was like a behemoth.
Really? Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Let me see.
Yeah, he fixed like every possible thing.
Everything.
Oh, ARPP said he boosted 3333.
Didn't come through to me.
Dreb said his boost failed.
I don't know why. But CLOS, was that Keysend or was that LN URL? Which one was it? Oh, he did. I said 4321. Somehow I got 4329. I don't know why that was.
Yeah, I see 4321 here.
Interesting. So I got some extra. The new helipad now adds 8 sats for every transaction. You just get a freebie.
Wait, let's see. What is this?
That's crazy. Did you get it?
I'm trying to look at my AlbiHub export. This has become so complicated now.
Yeah, CLOS, was that LN URL or was it Keysend?
Let's see here. Export. Okay.
It says it failed for you, Dave.
Oh, it did? My node is up, I think.
Yeah. Who knows?
I'm re-exporting the AlbiHub. Maybe it'll be finished by the time I read these PayPals.
Let me see if that came through, too. No, I think I changed. I don't think I have a...
Fountain sometimes sends strange TLV records.
Let me see. Did it come through?
Is that like Strange Fire?
I don't know.
Strange TLV.
Get uncached payment. I'm looking at the runway too. I don't see it on runway. Interesting. Shouldn't be on runway. It should only because I changed everything to my AlbiHub.
My AlbiHub's working.
Dreb Scott just tried again with fancy new Castomatic. Okay. Well, I didn't hear anything. I don't see anything.
Yeah, my Lightning node is up and running.
Your Lightning
node. My last incoming transaction was 11 days ago, though, so I don't know what that's all about.
That doesn't sound right.
No, this is all just a train wreck.
Anyway. Thank you, CLOS on Linux, for giving us the only boost I got coming in. I do see 91 sats from Oscar about 8 hours ago, twice, test one, test two, and then I hit the delimiter. I don't think we got anything else. At least I don't see it on runway either. So
I'm currently exporting out of AlbiHub to an Excel spreadsheet.
So. Woo!
This will be fun. It's on 34 out of 79 transactions.
Let me see if I have any streams. I don't think I have any streams either. When's my last stream? No, 22 hours ago. That can't be right. I don't know. Lyceum sent 77.77 via True Fans and 111.11. Oh, here's Eric PP. Okay. I got 33-33 from Eric PP. Yeah, got it. That just came in.
Oh, it just took a minute.
Yeah. Okay, so that worked, but I didn't hear a pew for some reason. Didn't hear a pew.
Didn't he make some changes to the sound settings?
No, I think they carried over.
Oh, did they? Okay. I know he added some stuff, right? I think.
Let me see.
I think it does new things like MIDI now.
Numerology. No, it's got it in there. It's got the baller. It's got all the.
Oh, Eric said he reboosted with Boost CLI. What did you boost at before? Fountain? Maybe? Maybe he sent it with Fountain I don't know. Maybe Oscar's dealing with some issues or something.
Yeah, he has tests. So if he's testing 8 hours ago, who knows?
Yeah, I wonder if the bot abuser thing was.
It could totally be that. Yeah, it could be all kinds of stuff.
He may be fighting a battle. So we'll send up prayers.
For he's Oscar. Fighting a battle that we've already won.
What?
I'm sorry, it's a worship song. We're fighting a battle that he already won. Why don't we thank some people, Dave?
Okay, I'll do this export later. Speaking of Oscar Mary, look at this. PayPal, $200.
Whoa, hold on a second.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Yay. Thank you very much, Oscar.
Okay, well, that $200 will cover the new database upsize we're going to have to do because we're about 75% disk space on the current database server.
Ooh, is that something that takes a while or is that a quick thing?
It'll take upsizing will take probably
hour,
30 minutes.
Oh, okay. And you're going to do that when in the middle of the night?
Please. I mean, please. I love you guys, but I'm not staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll just do it on like a Sunday evening or something. Mm. How much disk space are you using? Yeah, our current box has 640 gigs and we're at like 420 something.
What an odd number, 640 gigs. Wouldn't you just get a terabyte?
Well, I've been pricing stuff today to try to figure out what to do. Cause this is what set this whole spam thing off was I got a warning about disk space on the database server and I was like, whoa, what? I mean, cause 640 gigs, we should have plenty of space. And then I get in there and I'm like, oh, good grief. We're just, you know, we're just thousands of feeds a day of crap. And, let's see. I was looking earlier and what we're paying now for this VM for the main database is, let's see, it's got 32 gigs of RAM and 640 gigs of disk. And we're paying $192 a month for that VM to upsize it. The next size.
Oh, it's going to be a jump.
Oh, it's a jump. Yeah, it's a jump. It would be 64 gigs of RAM and 1280, so 1.2 terabytes. So it's basically double the cost from $192 a month to $384. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I priced it out and I was like, okay, well, can we just create a 1 terabyte disk like volume?
And attach it.
And that would be $100 a month.
Okay. So you might as well just go for the whole system. Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah. So it sucks. I hate spending money.
You're so good at that. I'm the opposite. I'm like, spend the money.
Throw money at the problem.
Not throw money at the problem, but at a certain point, you know, you can only wrap yourself in so many pretzel nuts.
Yeah. No, I think I can trim some stuff other places. It's not going to be much. Maybe
you need to upgrade
30 bucks off the cloud.
Think about
all
the extra stuff we can do with 64 gigs of RAM. You can do more with that. It'll be worth it.
Think of all the extra slot podcasts we can index with 64 gigs of RAM. Yeah.
There you go.
Think of all the different Wikipedia scraped Egypt history LLM read articles we can index.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And the funny thing is that now Wikipedia is all run by slot bots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's slop creating Wikipedia articles and bots creating slop out of slop. Slop on slop. Yeah, slop on slop.
Okay, Oscar, thank you.
Thank you, Oscar.
Appreciate that. $5, Joseph Maraca. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate it. $24.20 from Lauren Ball. Thank you, Lauren. Mitch Downey, $50.
Thank you, Mitch. Ah, so kind.
That's through Podverse. And then Mitch has always had a secondary contribution of $10 for him personally. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
Christopher Harbarek, $10. Thank you, Christopher. Damon Kasajak, $15. Thank you, Damon. We got Terry Keller, $5. Richard Taroxy, $10. Thank you, Richard. Chris Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
Let me give him a row of ducks here. Where's our ducks?
Okay.
Here we go. There's my row of ducks. Even though it's not boost, but still $22.22. Row of ducks.
Derek J. Visker, $21. Best name in podcasting. Jeremy Gerds, $5. Thank you, Jeremy. Todd Cochran.
Thank you, Todd. On the cloud.
$30.
Todd up there in the cloud.
That just kind of gets me every time. Yeah. Michael Hall, $5.50.
I want to have all kinds of podcast boosts, and I'm going to set up a bot for that so that even when I'm dead, PayPals and boosts will still go to podcasts. That's kind of cool.
That's a really cool idea.
Dead boost. Nice.
You just prepay a VM on some cloud hosting provider for like 10 years.
Yep.
And then set up a node and then just set it to boost on a timer to a bunch of different people forever.
with like random messages.
Yeah.
Just slop messages. Just created slop messages.
Yeah. Do you want to get your boyfriend back? call this number. Gene Liverman, $5. Thank you, Gene. Timothy Voice, $10. And that's it for our PayPals.
All right.
Let me see if this
spreadsheet came through yet. Has it done its thing?
You know, these are always fun to interpret. CSV. Here we go. This stupid spreadsheet is a train wreck. Oh my gosh.
So while you're doing that, so
I'm sorry, it's just humorous how bad this
After every no agenda show, I have to do all the executive producers and associate executive producers and put them in the credits. And almost two decades, I've been copying, pasting these names from the spreadsheet. And of course, if someone's, a knight, you got to have their knight name and all that stuff and putting it into the credits. And so I finally just like, hey, Claudebot, can you just do this for me? And it does it. It just does it. It goes into the spreadsheet that's just sitting in my donation folder on the drive. And it knows $200 between $200 and $300 associate executive producer. It finds a knight name and it just puts it into the credits.
Oh, wow.
This is the stuff I love.
Well, that's not this.
Yet.
This is terrible. It's not getting the names. It's not getting... I see Brian Insminger. The best performing comedy shows for ads podcast. I don't know what... That's like a Pod News boost. Why are we getting that in this? Hope this boost were... Oh, loaded an old Acer all-in-one with Umbral. I have my Albi Hub running there now. Hope this boost works. Thank you for your show. 73s, Bruce the Ugly Quacking Duck.
73s, Keto 5 Alpha Charlie. Got to renew my license. I just remember.
You're on the 10-year.
It's been 10 years, yeah.
Here's some Bitcoin. Let's see, 1842. Here's some Bitcoin. You guys should start the government backup more often so it dips more. What? I can't read this. Okay, this is unintelligible. I'm punting.
Okay.
I got to figure this out later. If you saw this spreadsheet, you would just laugh. Hmm. Well, okay. So we got 4321 from CLOS. You already read that one. Test boost. And then we got the delimiter, CommStrip Blogger, 20,000 sats through Fountain. CommStrip Blogger, all the other boosts are a train wreck. The CommStrip Blogger comes through loud and clear every single week.
I know.
I don't know why. Howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I want to recommend a podcast by James Cridland. www.podnews.net, which is a podcast and news website that covers in-depth podcast industry news. James Cridland knows everything about podcasting or more. Yo, CSB AI Arch Wizard PS, Adam.
Yes.
You spend many hours talking fictitious deities, not even Cthulhu or Rocco Bus Basilisk with Jimmy, who it's a fact is a fully paid church employee. So when you'll give me, not a Skynet employee, a short 33-minute max interview. Wow, that was a grammatically okay, but very long sentence.
Yes, comics or blog. I just need a day. I got no time in my life. It's crazy. And I thought I'd have time today, and I committed to cleaning up the studio.
It's sentences like that that make you really question Noam Chomsky's theories.
Okay. We can't get into that, Dave. I got a studio to clean. Can't do that.
All right.
Is that it? That's it with the delimiter?
That's it.
Thank you all very much for supporting the Podcast Index. We want this to be with us for a long time. We feel it's important. That's why we're here. You know, Dave and I both have other things to do, but we love doing it. We do it as a public service, and you should consider yourself lucky that it's there. Just keep the machines running. Dave and Adam get none of this. This goes into the podcastindex.org account, and it funds the machines, the many machines, disk space, et cetera, et cetera. The time and the talent is just a bonus that you get from us because we love doing it. And it's important for podcasting. It's important for the world, for the universe, I would say. We should get a Nobel Peace Prize. Dvorak says it all the time. We should get a Nobel Peace Prize for this. I agree.
And we'll get one right after Donald Trump gets one.
Thank you, Boardroom, for being here. And especially, I want to thank PJ Mac HVAC Air Duct Cleaning for all the great work that you're doing.
Perfectly clean duct work.
Yes. You clean out our ducts, baby. It's great. We'll be back next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Have a good weekend, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
It's hard, man.